to gather together in your name, and we are blessed to have you amongst us. I just pray that your words would be spoken, not mine, and that they would be a blessing to us all. Please lift up the women as they are in their class, and I just pray that they would be uplifted and blessed in your name as they gather in one mind together with you, Lord. And be with the children, keep them safe as they're playing outside. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Doug totally stole my thunder, but that's to be expected because he's Doug. And so he went over koinonia, and so I'm going to go over it a little bit. And koinonia is a Greek word, and it's used 20 times in the New Testament that I could find. But there you go, that's what I came up with, holding something together in a fellowship, joint participation, contribution to be in agreement. So this is something that I'm going to get to, and I typically talk about military terms because that's what I know. Career in law enforcement, so I'm retired. But a lot of things that they waterboarded into us in the military are really relevant when we come into scriptural passages, and we're going to get into some of that. So koinonia comes from the word koinos, which means common. So it's something that we have in common. The form of the word common is the sense we would be akin to in the English phrase, shared by all or several. So it's something that we all have in common, and in the military we all had in common that we worked for Uncle Sam. We all wore the same clothes, we all did the same things, we all were familiar with the same orders. So I have a little story to share that once upon a time, I was a commanding officer, and I had an employee. He was an extremely valuable employee. He was our use of force instructor. So he did our hand-to-hand combat, all of our taser stuff, all of our nightstick stuff, all of our pepper spray stuff, grenade launchers, you name it, this guy did it. He was extremely valuable, good friend. I've known this guy for a long time. He's what we call a Borstar agent. So in Borstar, he's a paramedic and he's a combat guy. So extremely valuable. He had a ton of black belts. This is like the last guy that I would genuinely want to mess with. Well, the Border Patrol, we had pepper spray, and the igniter to it, the propellant, was alcohol-based. So if I sprayed somebody with pepper spray and they still didn't comply, by policy, I could then tase them. Well, they found that that had the possibility of lighting people on fire, and they found that frowned upon. So we don't want that. RCMP did that at the airport over in Vancouver, and it didn't end well for them. So they took all of our pepper spray away, and they gave us this new pepper spray with a different propellant that wasn't flammable. So my use of force instructor says, here's what I'm going to do. I want to pepper spray everybody all over again. And I said, well, that's not really necessary. We all have had pepper spray. Everybody knows what it feels like. He's like, yeah, it's a good reminder. I don't need a reminder. I don't want a reminder. It sucks. And I will happily get tased again. Tased, 5-second ride. That's it, man. You ride the lightning, feel like you just got done with the gym, you feel really good. I'm not even kidding. The probes kind of hurt, but you'll get over that. The pepper spray stuff, that's the gift that keeps on giving, because it gets in your eyebrows, and you go get in the shower the next morning, next thing you know, it's in your junk. And, dude, it's bad news. So this guy, he says, Roger that, sir. And then he goes and puts out an email to all of my troops and says, get ready. Tomorrow we're all going to get pepper sprayed again. Completely disregarded my order. I'm a commanding officer, so I didn't see that email. But an agent comes into my office and says, hey, he just put out an email. He didn't give it to you? And I'm like, no. So I call him up to my office and I said, Jay, we talked about this. We're not going to pepper spray the guys. There's no need to do that. He says, I'm the use of force instructor. I'm the one running this show. I'm going to do it. And I said, well, I'm the commanding officer, and he worked for me, and we're not going to do it. And he says, fine. And he's really upset. Fine. So then he puts out another email to the whole station saying, bring a towel tomorrow because everybody's going to get pepper sprayed. And I'm like, the second time he's done this to me. So I have the authority to yank his certification. So if I yank somebody's certification, you're never going to teach in your career again. Once that gets pulled for something like this, egregious disobeying a direct order like that, it's a big fat hairy deal. So I could pull his certification, but I got to thinking about it. And this was in my office, closed door, because now I'm mad. I have a very long fuse, but when I lose it, I tend to lose it pretty good. I'm Scottish. And so instead of decertifying him, I was convicted because he's a fellow believer, and I know he's a fellow believer. More than that,
the rest of the station knew that he was a fellow believer, and they knew that I was a believer. And so at that point, I'm like, do I yank his certification? Do I call him into my office and say, your career as a youth and force instructor is over with all your black belts and all your special stuff that you've done and everything that you've done? Or do I try to deal with this in a Christian way? And here I am, a federal agent, but Christ rules my life. He's a believer. I know that Christ rules his life. He's jacked up, man. And quite frankly, so did I, because we both have words. And so he may have, in my opinion, started it, but I was no better, because we were going back and forth about this thing. So I called him into my office, and we sat down and have a talk. And I said, let me see if I got it on here. Yeah, so two verses kept coming into my head. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. I know this from my brother, because my brother, so I'm dark white. My brother, he's a strawberry blonde, and he got the dominant style genes. And man, that guy's got anger problems. My brother. I love you, my brother. He's a good dude, my brother. But he knows he's had anger problems his whole life. I used to taunt the heck out of him as a kid, man. And you got older brothers, you know what it's like, right? You got younger brothers, you know what it's like. Yeah, same with all you guys. I taunted the heck out of him. So I get to thinking about anger rates of this guy, Jay. And I'm like, I got to make this right. Because if I just bring him into my office and say, if he ain't your certification, what's that going to do to our relationship? What's that going to do? Nothing good. And then I'm going to have to find another youth support instructor. Those are hard to come by.
So the second thing that came to my mind was Romans 12:18. And this is a kind of one of my mantras. I repeat this one to my kids. I repeat this one at the wedding that I just did consistently. This is one of the verses that if you're going to memorize a verse, this is a good one. Romans 12:18. If at all possible, as it pertains to you, be at peace with one another. And from a former warrior, this is a tricky one, because I'm ready for battle at any given time. But at the same time, God says, if at all possible, be at peace with one another. So we can be ready for battle, but at the same time, be ready to stealth. Because God may say, I'm pulling the trigger on you, you're going in. And then he may say, I'm going to shelter you for the next year. And so that's an entire possibility that we need to be ready for. So after respect between both of us grew, and what I wrote here was that I considered our allegiance to God and our allegiance to other. So allegiance, loyalty or commitment of a subordinate to a superior or an individual, to a group or to a cause. And then it has an example down there. So allegiance. Do I have allegiance to my friend, to this guy? And the conclusion that I came to was, as he's sitting in my office, I had this crazy ugly couch in my office, and some of you have been in there. It was like this green, bright green Naga-eyed couch from like World War II. It was in my office. He comes in, he sits on the chair, and he's waiting. You could see him. He was just jittery because he was waiting for the butt chewing, and he was going to be quick with a response. I could see his face. And I just said, Jay, you believe in the same God that I do. You believe in Jesus Christ the same way I do. The agents know that you do, and the agents know that I do. We can't keep doing this. This has got to stop. So, what I'm going to say is this. We are not pepper spraying you guys. I don't want to decertify you, but we are not pepper spraying you guys. But, here's the bigger issue. And he said, what could be bigger than that? And I said, I'm going to be spending eternity with you. You're going to be spending eternity with me. We are both going to heaven. We're both going to the same place. And I know we are, because I've heard you talk about your faith in Jesus Christ. And you've heard me talk about our faith in Jesus Christ. There's no disagreement between you and me. We agree on the exact same thing. We are going to the same place. And that goes for the rest of you. We're going to the same place. My allegiance to my Lord means that I have a higher allegiance to my fellow Christian. And so, as it relates to the rest of that station, what good would it do for me to stay angry, or Jay to be staying angry with me? We need to rectify this. We need to reconcile. We had to. And when I said that, there was a quiet. You could hear the cranks turning, the gerbils were getting hungry as they were going through his head, and he's sitting there chewing on it. And man, he was ready for battle, man. He was ready to go fight with me on this. And the conclusion that he came to was, he was like, that is right. He didn't say, you're right. Because it doesn't matter at that point.
that is right. It was what he said. And he did. And man, I could see that he meant it. And I could hear the damn it. In his head. But I could hear it, dude. I could hear it. Because he was like, oh, man. And I don't know why to this day he still wanted to pepper spray guys. Maybe that's the Machiavelli in him. I don't know. But
nonetheless, he came to the same conclusion once I brought it up that we got to reconcile, bro. No good. No good can come from this because we both represent something bigger than ourselves. And you know it and I know it. And so what good does it do our Heavenly Father for them to see us at odds? And he came to the same conclusion that I did when I brought it up. So in this case, I pointed that out. And Mark 10:9. This is often used in weddings. And this is the one I said to him. And I said, I'm not getting married to you, but this is really relevant, man. What God has put together, let no man separate. Let no man come between this. And so that includes, let us not come in between what God has separated, what God has put together. And God gave me His Holy Spirit when I accepted Jesus Christ. You accepted Jesus Christ. He gave you His Holy Spirit. Let us not come between one another with this. That's not right. And that's not what he wants. He wants unity of the body. Satan is the one that wants to tear us apart, right? And so he would love nothing more than for me and Jay to stay at odds with one another. But we both came to the same conclusion when it got brought up. Jay was just like, no, that's right. All right, so disagreements are bound to happen from time to time. And they still did between me and Jay, but we must agree to be subordinate to the higher calling, which is to represent Christ to each other as well as it is to the world. So Christ, I had another employee, this was before this time, but over in Spokane, he was a Christian. And when I would bring up Christ at work, he would really, not get angry, but he would get real frustrated. He'd say, why do you do that all the time? And I'm like, what's that? He said, why do you bring up your relationship with Christ all the time like this? And I'm like, well, it's relevant. And I bring it up when it's relevant. I'm not one of these vile, crunching guys where I just go, oh, there's a verse for this, you know. I'm not like that. But we're on our way to something. I'm like, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of this. And I maybe will tell a story or something like that as it relates to my life in Christ. And he got really upset with me. And I said, why are you upset? And he said, because God belongs in church. And he was serious. God belongs in church. I go to church on Sunday. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God belongs there. He does not belong in the patrol car as I'm driving to this event. And I'm like, oh man, you couldn't be more wrong, brother. And so this right here is, we represent Christ whether we're in church or outside of church. And as men, it's different for us than it is for women. We lead. We are called to be leaders. And so we stand up when we know we've done wrong. And that was my conversation with Jay. Sometimes you got to be the bigger man. Sometimes you got to be the one to start it. Even if you're still angry, you got to be the one to start it. And that means sometimes you got to own it and say, we got to fix this, man. We got to fix it. So considering the purpose and principles of what we were called to study here on this, which is the fellowship and everything, the one that the concept that kind of caught my mind was one another. So one another, amongst one another, all of us, one another, and specifically one another men. So as we are leaders in our families, and as we are leaders in our communities, and as we are standing up as Christian believers, we're called to be, and it says, one another. Christian fellowship is a key aspect of the Christian life. Believers in Christ are to come together in love, faith, and encouragement. And that is the essence of what Doug was talking about with that koinonia. It's that genuine, heartfelt recognition. We know what is right. God put it in our hearts. We know what is right. And sometimes it's hard to admit that as a man, and I'm speaking to myself right here. It's hard for me to admit that sometimes because, especially as a colonel, I didn't want to. I'm right. I'm the commanding officer. I'm right. Well, sometimes I wasn't right. And so do you stand on your position? Positional leadership is the lowest rung, man. So if you are walking around saying, I outrank you all the time, what respect are you going to get from the people that follow you? None. If you constantly have to remind them that you're in charge, you're not in charge. The next step is getting your employees to respect you. And I had one guy, this one employee, I'd worked with him for about a decade. And I like to work in 3-month increments. So I don't,
I'm not a procrastinator. I like to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm extremely organized, very administrative. And so I walked into his office and I said, hey, in 3 months, this is going on. I'd like you to start preparing a package for me, please. And so I would like A, B, C, D. And I gave him a list of things that I wanted to do. And I said, I'd like that in my office by about 3 days. Can you do that? He literally took a folder off of his desk and handed it to me. And I was like, what's this? And he's like, I already did that. I'm like, you did? And he says, no, I knew you were going to ask me for it eventually, because that's what I'm charging. He predicted, he knew me well enough that I worked in 3 month increments. He had that much respect for me that I didn't have to ask him. He went ahead and prepared it in advance. How cool is that, right? So I walked back into my office, and I was just like, I'm keeping notes throughout the year. I keep notes on all my employees, who's going to get the end of the year cash award, you know, and all this business. Our goal as employees is to work as unto Christ. Our job as men is to work as unto Christ. Our job as fathers and as leaders is to work as if unto Christ. And so when we do that, we get out of positional authority right away. We get out of that. And so that's not going to fly. The dog ain't going to hunt. We got to get out of positional authority. We got to get to the second phase, which is mutual respect. And when we gain that mutual respect, they will work for us before we even ask them to. And they'll recognize what we need in our leadership. And they're supposed to be our helpmates, right? They're gonna do it. They're going to recognize the need to be the helpmate before we even get to that point where we're asking them. Okay, Philippians 2, 1 through 2 says, therefore, if there's any consolation, I love this phrase, consolation in Christ. It's like a consolation, I think, of a prize. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. This is what was going through my mind when I was thinking about Jay, when I was considering our disagreement with the pepper spray. Man, I don't want to pepper spray the guys. They've already done it. I don't want to hurt them any more than what's necessary. The likelihood of them getting hurt out in the field is high enough as it is. We don't need to go around pepper spraying each other just because we're in charge. Don't do it. So Philippians 1:27 through 30, Paul is talking about how he tells them about internal conflicts in the body, internal conflicts in the body of Christ. And I got that wrong. He tells them how to act against internal conflicts in the body of Christ. But we have the consolation of Christ, the comfort of his love, the fellowship of the Spirit, and affection and mercy. These are all gifts that are given to us. So as leaders, I love that God doesn't say, hey, you're a man. Yay, congratulations. You can pee standing up. He says, I'm going to give you the gifts and the abilities to do the calling that I've called you to. So you have been called to a duty, and that means that you do need to stand up. You do need to rise up, but you're not doing it. And I like what you said. We're not doing it on our own authority. We're not doing it on our own power. And you said it as well. We're allowing him to work through us. And so being submissive as a man, I tell you what, that's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Submissive. And when I think of submissive, I think of victim. And I hate that word submissive. But yet that's exactly what God calls us to be. Why? Out of allegiance. And that brings a whole new realm to that word submissive to me. Because when I was in the military, man, God bless it, dude. I was in high school and there was a war going on. Desert Storm was going on. And don't ever mention this to anybody else. I was a music major. I had all these plans of being in music and stuff like that. I'll never break to be able to play the piano. But there was a war going on, and I was sure that I was going to be the Captain America and fix the war. And so I went and joined up. And so Desert Storm, man. Well, I ended up catching the tail end of it, and I doubt I did a whole lot. But 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So I put this one in there because tit for tat, I am really bad at that. And so if I get smashed by somebody, this is something I'm really bad at. And what I used to do to my brother when I was a little kid, and this is where my dad was like, yeah, you can't do that, man. So my brother's a lot bigger than I am, and he'd smash me, right? Well, I was smaller, and so I knew if I went toe-to-toe, I was toast. He was just going to lay me out. So 5 days later, when he wasn't expecting it, I'd come from downtown, and I'd get him. And my dad was like, what is that for? And I'm like, well, 5 days ago, he did that to me. And dad's like, hey, you can't do that, man. You can't do that. You got to get him in the moment. No, he didn't say that. But he didn't say that. But the point is, though, is that you can't revile like that. You can't, if you are done hard by, whether it's by another believer or anybody else, we can't be plotting to get back like that. And man, that is what I'm born to do. Right? And are you guys born to do that? You get, come on, don't leave me up here. We're like that, right? Where when we see somebody do that, I'm like, I could really easily go put nails in your driveway. No problem. You know, I know how to sneak up to a house. Get the little styrofoam things, put them on your shoes, leave no footprints, go to the fish store, get a little fish catcher, catch the brass when the bullets come out. That way there's no sign of that. You know what I mean? So I've thought this through. So there's ways to do this. And God says, that's not my way. He says, I've made you for a purpose. You are a leader, and I want you to, and I want your allegiance, is what he says. And if he has my allegiance, that means that I've put my trust in him, and I serve him with allegiance. And so there's no gray about it. It's black or white. It is or it is not. And I choose to make it so. All right, so most of us are willing, I love this, most of us are willing to have one mind as long as it's my mind. Right? So that's the way. Man, I'll tell you what, one of my pet peeves, oh boy, I'm a uniform guy. And when I was in uniform, spit polish, bright shiny shoes. And so at one point I did this backup for a state trooper. And you know the state troopers, man, those guys are like, you know, spit and polish. And bounce a dime off their uniform, and you know, and everything. So my shirt, my boots outshine his boots. And so he looks at me and he's like, what are you all about? And I said, well, he's gonna get his own coffee. You know, implying that I'm a house mouse and I got these shiny boots. But I wasn't like that. I was a field guy, man. And so, but I just really liked, and if my uniform got scuffed up or dirty, that's okay. That night, I'm in there polishing. Man, my son, he could polish some boots. I taught him early, and he can field strip a gun too, because he was doing it for me as I was doing it, and it was a good building thing for me and my son. But being of one mind, it's not my mind that we're following. It's the mind of Christ. And so we've talked about that a little bit with all the speakers that we've had so far. But in order to have that, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. And I highlighted some portions. Man, that's super blurry. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? How do we get that? And this is part of our training. So man, I tell you what, you get tired of the training in the military. Stupid bells are going off all the time when you're at sea and everything like that. And digging you to quarters and everything like that. And you get there and you find out, no, it's just a drill. And you're like, son of a berry picker, man, you're like all set up. It's like 3 a.m. So this command brings us back to the need to know God's word. And when I first started doing this, I was real bored of it. Real bored of it. God's word, man, you get into Leviticus and some of that is just like, oh my God. But then as I started doing it out of allegiance to the Father, he rewarded me. And I found it fascinating that he's not all stick. He's got a carrot. And as my desire to read more, it was rewarded. And so as I'm reading some passages, he showed me, hey, you know what? The Old Testament, it totally talks about this right here. So when Jesus was doing this, this is what he was referring back to. And I got excited. And so I'm reading a passage in Matthew, it's Matthew chapter 8. And I got to it and I read it and I was like, it talks about this thing, and he's healing the leper. So if you read the story and you read it like he's healing the leper, well, hoo-yah. Yep, he heals the leper. Good on him. That's not what the story is about. The story is about, if you keep reading Matthew chapter 8, or Matthew 8 right here, it says that after he healed the leper, he told him, don't tell anybody, go to the priest and ask for the ceremony of Moses. All stop. Thank you, Jesus. What is the ceremony of Moses? Well, it doesn't say. Well, the crap is that, right? So you're reading, and I'm quite disappointed at this point. And then I'm starting thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. that one time when I fell asleep reading Leviticus, I remember reading this portion on it. It's Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, the title on it is Infectious Diseases. And I was just like, that's going to be good. So I'm reading about that, like what kind of scabs did they have back in the Old Testament, you know? And so I'm reading it. Well, it's super cool because it goes over what the gift of Moses is, what the ceremony of Moses is. And dude, double dog dare you to go read it, because it says that the high priest, in order, if you say, hey, I'm clean, well, you very well may be clean, but you still can't come into the holy city. So the priest has to exit the holy city, and where do the lepers live? To the dump. So the priest leaves the holy city and goes to the dump to go check you out. What did Jesus Christ do if not leave the holy city to come to the dump to see us? So he does that. The priest checks you out and everything like that. Then there's this whole ceremony involving a cedar plank, a red hyssop, a dove, living water. And you cut the wood up, you sprinkle the blood in there, you sprinkle it on there. So the plank is the cross, the red yarn is the blood, the dove is the spirit of God. You got two doves, one you whack, and he dies. And then you release the other one back in. That's the resurrection. Matthew chapter 8, when he's coming down the mountain with the leper and everything, dude, that was Jesus Christ with his freaking business card going, I'm God. And it's at that point, they're like, yeah, let's kill him. You know? So when I read that for the first time, dude, I got excited, man. I got excited, and I was like, Leviticus. Infectious diseases. You know? So there's cool stuff with this. My battery's going to die. There we go. Okay. Wow, that was for free. That wasn't even in my notes. Come on. Okay. So accept one another is one of my key points here. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. It brings praise to God when me and Jay reconciled. When me and Jay reconciled, and he owned it, I owned it, and when we both reconciled like that, that's a win-win, man, because when those other agents, when they looked at the both of us, they no longer saw conflict, they saw unity. And they were like, okay with that. All right, so this is Spurgeon. I love his quotes. Christ did not receive us because we were perfect, because he could see no faults in us, or because he hoped to gain something of that out of our hands. No. But in loving condescension, covering our faults and seeking our good, he welcomed us into his heart, so that in the same way and with the same purpose, let us receive one another. God, there's no benefit to being my friend. There's not. I'm God's creation. But yet, God chooses the foolish things of this world. Why does he do that? To bring himself glory. And I've said this a million times, if you've known me, when you see a bodybuilder lift something heavy, you don't go, whoa. You go, dang, he must work out. When you see a real skinny guy do it, that's when you go, that's not right. And so when you see the real skinny dude lift a heavy weight, that's not by his own power. Something weird's going on right there. So I can't wait to see Samson. Without the Holy Spirit, getting together can be precarious. We see the cracks and the unity, and it can be really fragile. So if I have a friend, and I do, who's not a Christian, and I start talking about Christian things, he looks at me and he's like, aren't you the guy that last year you got accused of all this crap and all this happened and everything like that? He sees all the cracks in Mac, all the fragility that is me. And he says, that couldn't possibly be it. You know, he looks at my frame right now and he says, there's no possible way you could have done those things. And there's this doubt that comes in. And a lot of times, hey, Sam. So it's real common, though, that we, quite frankly, we get jealous with one another, because I look at somebody who has a gift that I don't have, and I'm like, I would like a portion of that gift, but I resent that he doesn't have, that he has that gift, that I don't have that gift. But when I have the Holy Spirit, he takes my personality, which is a bit in your face, and he starts to smooth over the edges of it, right? Believe it or not, this is the smooth edge part. So the longer you know me, this is the smooth edge part. I used to be worse. So what God does is he takes the personalities that he created in us. So I am exactly who God created me to be. You are exactly who God created you to be. And he smooths over the edges. That's the conforming to Christ. That's the work that he says that I've started in you, that I'm faithful to complete. I'm going to bring you to myself. I'm going to make infectious diseases in Leviticus 14 cool. just wait, you know. So he rewards our stepping into the water. He rewards our willingness to be bored. Sometimes reading the Bible can be bored. He says, but it's not, and I'll prove it to you. So in order to have that mind of Christ, we have to be willing to get bored. We have to be willing to put our feet in the water. And he says, if you are willing to do that, I'm going to do something amazing.
So a fascinating thing happens, though, with those who have accepted Christ and have the Holy Spirit. The more we grow towards Christ, the more we grow towards each other and are willing to accept the cracks because he chose us in Christ. So he chose us. He chose Dave. He chose Roger. He chose Jesse. He chose all of us in Christ. Do you think God doesn't know my deficiencies? Do you think he doesn't see my cracks? I see some of my cracks, and he says, oh, but there's more. And so the stuff that I look at and go, oh, no, everybody thinks like that. No, they don't. No, people don't think the way I think. I'm a little quirky in this way. And so there's a lot, thank God for my wife. She's just like, stop talking. You know. So every now and then my filter kicks in. Okay, so this is something that Satan does, and we need to be hyper aware of this. And we need to be very, very vigilant with this. Because I'm a believer, you're a believer. Satan wants division, right? He wants to divide. And what is the best thing for him to do is to take Jay and me and have us fight over that stupid pepper spray issue and make it a capital issue for me to decertify him. And then for him to go to the agents and go, you believe what Matt just did to me? Oh my gosh, right? So then we have this massive division going on. So you don't even need to hear the sound on this. You'll understand it. But there's a video. Oh man, you're not going to be able to see that. I don't know if he can with the light. I'll explain it to you. How many have seen Braveheart? Braveheart. You haven't seen Braveheart?
Oh, yeah, I've seen
okay.
It. It's been a long time, so I want to see that.
Okay, so in Braveheart, there's Edward de Longshanks. And Edward de Longshanks is the king of England, and he's like not a good dude. He's like total evil. So in my scenario, he represents Satan in this. And so he has a bunch of these fun. He has a bunch of these. Thank you, right?
Yeah.
So he has a bunch of these. Well, he's going against the stats.
Every
so,
team in England, pretty much.
Yeah. So he's got. Like, he did great, brother. Yeah. Woo.
Awesome. I'll give you a trophy. Later.
Yeah. Gold star. So the king of England, he gets these Irish conscripts and Welsh conscripts and everything, which are Celts, and he's like, I'm going to get these. To go fight the Irish, and it's got to be my favorite scene in the entire movie. And this is what we need to be like as believers. This is what we need to do right here. Oh man, I did it. There we go. So here comes the Brits right behind them. The Irish dudes are running, the Scots dudes are running, the spears are down, and I love Stephen, man. So the king's like, oh, it's going to be good. The Celts are going to get them fighting each other. And they start hugging each other, man. And the king's like, oh, serious? And then the last phrase, he's like, Irish. You know? So I just, that warms my heart when I see that. So I wanted to share it. Yeah. It just, I love it though, because so me and my brother, I shared this with you guys the other night. So my brother and I are very close. We're Irish twins. We're 13 months apart. We're practically twins. And my brother and I have, our personalities are, you've met them, we're very, very similar. And so when the two of us get together, it's very loud. And so he's very good at public speaking. I'm pretty good at public speaking. So his boss would try to pit him against me so that my boss would look bad. And my boss would try to pit me against him so that his boss would look bad. And so my boss, he's calling me up and he's like, hey, I want you to find out what your brother's working on. I want you to find out what he's working on, and we're going to do this, we're going to do it better. And I'm like, okay. So I call my brother, hey man, what you working on? He tells me, I'm like, do you need help? You know, so I'm helping him out, and so I go back to my boss, I'm like, nah man, he wouldn't bite, you know, and I'm feeding him stuff. No, don't say that, say this. Let me send you a video, this is going to be great. So I was like, no, I'm all about my brother's success, man, and we should be too, no jealousy. God made us exactly who we are. So you may have some skills like construction or building things or being smart, And I don't have these things, man. I don't. I'm the destroyer of things. Connor gets it honestly. I break things. That's what I do. But let's go shooting. We'll go shoot. And there you go. So serve one another in love. And I like that phrase because it's in love. Is there such a thing as false love? Fake love? Is there such a thing? Sure, there is. Absolutely there is. How long can you sustain that? So you can get caught, man. You know, I once had this guy that I mentored in high school. His name rhymes with Longfellow. And he calls me up and he says, Mac, I need some advice. I got two girlfriends. And I want to marry them. And I'm like, well, that's bad. And he's like, so which do I pick? You know, and he's talking about the one chick. He's telling me about her. He's talking about the other chick. I'm like, bro, you are in so much trouble, man. You don't even see it. And he's like legit asking for advice. I'm like, there's no right answer to the wrong question. I'm like, dude, they're going to figure it out, man. I swear, chicks are smart, dude. They're going to figure it out. They're smarter than you. And so this whole love for him was for, I had to tell him some stuff he didn't want to hear. Okay. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So there's a couple things to mention here. Brethren, brothers and sisters. But when he says brethren, he's talking to believers, right? So when he says brethren, he's talking to believers. These are people with the Holy Spirit, endowed with the Holy Spirit. So they're sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Without accepting the gift of salvation, we are estranged from one another. And so I can have friends and I can have a relationship with somebody, but am I having the fellowship that Doug talked about? And so, where you at? There you are. Okay, so I got something I want to show you. Where did the little purple thing go?
It's on your water bottle.
It's on my water bottle. There you go. All
right. So here, you stick right there. Put that on. All right. So Matt over here is my estranged friend. He's a good friend of mine, but he's not a Christian. He's not a believer. And so he's going to come over and visit me. You doing pretty good there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was a little late. Good to see you. Hey, why don't you come on in and have a seat? So he's going to come on in and have a seat.
Are you
going to
help me?
No, you got it. You got it. You're a big boy. Yeah, you can. There you go. He's going to have a seat. And so we're talking, but I'm talking to him like he's me, right? Because we're best friends. Why are you looking at the ground, Matt? What's going on? You're looking at the ground. That doesn't make any sense. Here, have a glass of water. Good. It's right there. Oh, hey, careful, man. Yep. There you go. So when I'm talking to these guys, you can drink it? Oh no, it's good stuff, dude. It's gonna help you. No, don't do it. Don't do it. It's dishwater. It's not dishwater. That's good. You can sit down. Or you can get up and sit down. You're done. What I wanted to show is that it's just a simple little 5-second thing here. But when we have our unbelieving friends and we call them over and everything like that, we have to be able to recognize. Now, it's not that he didn't want to see, right? He couldn't see. His want had nothing to do with it. Desire had nothing to do with it. And we're good friends, man. I mean, I had these military buddies, and you were talking about it with Gene Cunningham's son that was in the Marine Corps. So I had a band of brothers, and we went on vacation a while back, and my wife was like, hey, let's go visit some of your Navy SEAL friends.
That would be a horrible idea.
I know exactly what we're doing right now. I do not want to be friends with those people anymore. And I'm dead serious when I say that. Are we band of brothers? Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I got a friend that lives down 10 minutes from my house right now. Unhinged is the way I would describe him. Love him dearly. Would I go to battle with him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Hands down. Absolutely, I would. And would he for me? Yes, he would. We are band of brothers. Now, we didn't serve together, but we were in the same unit at different times. We've shared the same dirt. I know exactly what that man went through. He knew exactly what I went through. And we were forged in fire, period. And so we do have a bond that I don't have with other people. Now, that was him right there, dude. He comes over to my house and we blacksmith all the time. And I've talked to him about Jesus Christ till I'm blue in the face. He's got every freaking answer under the sun to deny me, to shut me down. And then he leaves me by giving me a hug and says, love you, bro. And he means it. Love you, man. Like that. And then he goes home.
They're not like us. They're not. And we need to have compassion for when... You gonna help me just sit down? No, man, you got it. Right? You gonna help me? No, you got it. You're a big boy. You know? Here, have a glass of water. And I just held it out there like that. It's not that he doesn't want to see. It's that he can't see. And that's just... It's just something to bear in mind. It's something to remember. Okay, so we've been called to liberty. So... How many guys do we have here that have served in the military? Do we have any? You were in the military? Okay. So when I hear the words, and I tend to think of things in law enforcement and military, and I do apologize because I try not to make every sermon about that, but I think when I'm talking to men, you guys, whether you were in the military or not, whether you like it or not, you are in the military. You are serving. You may not have gone through a boot camp like what I did, but I guarantee you, you have been through a boot camp, and some of you are still going through a boot camp. And it's very real. You are serving, whether you like it or not. So when I hear the word liberty, I think of it in military terms. And liberty has a very definite connotation in military terms. So we think of it as freedom, right? So when we hear liberty, Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell, and so it's let freedom ring. Is that what you guys think of when you think of liberty? It's not what I think of when I think of liberty. Liberty for me is different. So, here we go. It's a military term that transposed into civilian life. The term is, let's see. So in the military, every single moment of life, you have to prepare for somebody yelling at you. It's a fact. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to yell at you. You have to be prepared for shouts of orders at any second, no exceptions, whether you're asleep, whether you're in the shower, whether you're eating. One of my favorite things was as you would go to sit down to eat, they had a grease pencil, and the guy would look at his watch and say, it's 14:29, that's the time to eat, and get 5 minutes to go. And so you're the first person that sat down at the table. Seth's the last person that sat down at the table. You sat down at 14:29. You sat down at 14:40. Your 10 minutes started, but he sat down. Choke it down, brother. Don't chew stuff 23 times, man. You got to choke it down. And so there's rules, there's rigidity that we work together, we eat together, we do everything together, we do everything the same way. And so that means if he's going to sit down, dude, and I'm sorry, he's caught nut to butt. So you're following that guy, man. I'm right on Matt's heels like this because when he sits down, I know I got 10 minutes. So as soon as you sit down, everybody's rushing to sit down at the same time because that way you can actually take some time to digest some food. And then I got in trouble at one time, but because I stuck peanut butter packets in my pocket because I didn't get time, man. So I like the way Connor put it in my son when he was in Marine Corps boot camp. He said they give you 3 opportunities a day to eat. Opportunities. You have 3 opportunities to eat. So liberty is, in the military, you are barked orders, whether you're standing, sleeping, sitting, doesn't matter. Oh, here's a good one. So in Buds, we just came out of the surf. I'm covered with sand, salt, I'm wet. And the instructor says, I'm going to be really nice to you guys. You guys did really good today. It pays to be a winner. You guys get a 10-minute nap. So go back to the berthing area where all the barracks are and everything. Don't sleep on your beds because your bed's going to be inspected. Lay down under your beds, right? Well, what does that do? Now it's just going to be salty and sandy and wet. I'm still going to have to clean it. I still have to make my bed. So those cheeky little buggers, my fellow sailors, tied my shoelaces to the bottom of the raft. Yeah, they tied my shoelaces to the bottom of the raft. So you are ingrained that when you hear the yelling, you pop tall. And so they got right down on the ground. And I'm out, man. It's like you have precious few seconds. And so it's one of my superpowers. I can fall asleep in any position, any time, like super fast. I'm really pissed off. So I'm on the ground, and they get down there, and they go, pop tall! Like that. And my head came up and hit that iron rack. And so then I realized they played a joke on me, and I'm after him, and the whole bed goes like that. Well, the beds are on the squares. So now I have to redo absolutely everything. I'm like, you cheeky little guys. So the military is very rigid on different things, and we play jokes on each other. But when you're called to liberty, you can relax your clothes. We used to call them civvies or soft clothes. You can eat off base, away from the precision, time restraints. If someone yells at you, you can ignore them. It's super cool, right? So when you're on liberty. The thing to remember, though, is that you still stand out. Your haircut looks a little bit different. Your clothes still look a little bit different because you've been brainwashed into this form. The military takes your personality, kind of tears it down, and then they rebuild it back up over here. But always in your mind, unless people got drafted, it was, I joined for a purpose. I am here to serve. But when you get out to the public, they still recognize your haircut. They still, servicemen, they wear their clothes a little bit different. You know, it's all still in your gig line is in line and everything like that. You still stand out. You still, people look at you and feel like, I don't know what branch you're in, but you're in the service, man. Yeah, you can't hide that. And you still, you call people sir, ma'am all the time, and it's normal people don't do that. Serving another one in love. This is still continued. So there's a code. It's unspoken system that is ingrained in you in the military, which is service. We serve. That's what we do. In the freedom of our liberty, it was always in the portion of our minds that we represented something larger than ourselves. We were newly constructed and we had a purpose, and our purpose was to serve. And in the military, it is literally night and day, you serve. And so if you're not working in the capacity that you were hired in the military, congratulations, you're peeling potatoes today. Congratulations, you're cleaning the head. That one sucked. Congratulations, you're dumping the trash. That also sucked. The Eagles were coming out. That was what I stated in the last thing. So whether you're working in your paid profession, it doesn't matter. You're still working for Uncle Sam. We'll find a place for you. Am I wrong? Okay. They'll figure it out. Yeah, you're a hot in a pot, man. And so they'll find something for you to do. But the point is that no matter what you are doing, whether you are working in your assigned capacity or not, you have a purpose. There is no downtime. So if you're not working in your assigned job that you're supposed to be doing, they'll find something for you to do. Don't doubt them. They will do it. So there is always a purpose for us as Christians. Whether we are in church on Sunday, whether we are talking to somebody about Christ, we are always representing. We wear it. Christ is in me. His light shines, Matthew chapter 5. It does shine. And so people look at me, and granted they think I'm a little different anyway, but people look at me and they say, there's something not quite right about you. Why does my friend still come over? He knows what I'm going to talk about. He knows what I'm going to talk about. One of my favorite things, Roger says all the time, whenever somebody asks Roger, hey, would you be willing to speak at this thing and everything like that? And I'm like, has anybody ever given you grief about talking about Christ? He says, they know what I'm going to talk about. So if they ask me to go, this is what they're going to get. And so if they see you, they're going to see Christ. This guy continuously still comes over to my house because he'll make the statements of, I'm going through a Mac withdrawal. I need to hang out with you a little bit more. He knows what I'm going to talk about, man. He knows what it's going to be, and it's awkward. It's super awkward. He just can't accept what my answer is. Okay. So here you go. So my mom is the problem. My dad is, he was a workaholic, but my mom is we used to call her the KGB. She was extremely rigid as a child, and we've met her. She's super cool. My mom used to pat us down going to church. My dad was a pastor, and so we're pastor's kids, and that makes us a little bit evil, more so than others, I know you. And so she used to pat us down going to church every morning for G.I. Joe figures, rubber bands, paper clips, because those go boring, you know, straws, because you can make your own spitballs and stuff like that. So mom used to pat me and my brother down all the time. But whenever we would go out to play or to school or anything, my mom had the same thing that she said every freaking time. Zero changes. She said, you're a Christian and you're a McKellen. Ugh. Go act like it. You're a Christian and you're a McKellen. Go act like it. You don't represent yourself. You are not yourself. You're on liberty. You're on liberty. And mom said, if you go out there, they're going to look at you and say, that's one of the McKellen boys. And if they go out there, they're going to say, that's the pastor's kids. You're a McKellen and you're a Christian. Go act like it. Don't forget it. And so we as believers, whether you like it or not, we shine the light. They recognize us. They don't know what it is, but they recognize us. Go act like it. Don't forget about it, because they see you and they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. But when we get into these fights that Satan wants us to get into, that's exactly what my mom was saying, man. You're a McKellen and you're a Christian. Go act like it. Don't act like them. Don't act like them. You're not like that. Don't do that. All right. So what is it to be a Christian? it's in the Gospels. It's in the whole thing. Just let's stick with Matthew. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. It always needs to be on our mind. You don't have to have been in the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Coast Guard. You didn't have to do that. We are called to serve. We are called to serve, period. There's a war going on. We are called to serve. Everybody here got drafted because even though we think we accepted Christ, he accepted us. He picked me. He picked you. He picked you. He picked you. He knows exactly who you are, Seth. God picked you, and he said, you are mine. No one can snatch you out of my hand. You are mine. And I know all of your cracks. I know all of your quirks. I know all of that crap. I know it. But I still want you, and you are going to go represent me, whether you like it or not. And sometimes you're going to fall, like what he pointed out. Sometimes we're going to fall, and we're going to go, hey, this looks pretty shiny. And we're going to go pick it up like a freaking seagull. But then when we recognize that we did it wrong, that's when God, he touches our heart. And I pray all the time, soften my heart to who I am. Because I know some of my faults. He knows all of them. He knows all the things that make me stumble and fall. And so when I... Like Doug said, when I'm willing to go halfway and say, I'm sorry, and I seek that reconciliation, he holds out his hand, and he's like this, and all we got to do is take it. We're the one in the pit. He's chucking the rope. We just got to grab the rope, right? But so oftentimes, we're the one in the pit, and we're like, man, I wish somebody would chuck me the rope. Meanwhile, we're standing on the rope, right? All right. So there you go. My mom was a battle-hardened Christian. She was very much properly in tune with the concepts of service, both on duty and off duty. She was a pastor's wife. And my dad, don't get me wrong, I love him dearly and I have the utmost respect for him. And I definitely call him a lot. I'm just going to tell you, I call my mom more. I'm a mama's boy. And that woman is something else with her ability to serve when she's sick. When I was sick, she's sick, and she's still taking care of me. She's still doing stuff. I'm 50 years old right now, and she's sending me money so that I can be out here. And in case you want to go to Burger King on your way, she sends me money. I'm like, Mom, I got it. It's okay. I appreciate it. She's still doing that, man. I'm 50. Come on. You know, I mean, I can hack it, but I know she means well. So in our fellowship, our koinonia, we are always to be aware that we represent our sovereign King in all things. Just because I can doesn't mean I always should, right? And we've heard that before. Just because you can doesn't mean you always should. That took me a long time to learn that because I'm a little monkey and I was an adrenaline junkie and no fear, man. And I learned that the hard way. That doesn't work. So for you, brethren, you have been called to liberty, only do not use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So that's our fellowship to our fellow believers. How does that relate to my friend right here? How does that relate to him? I have the liberty. I have the Holy Spirit. I know what I can and can't do. What's his weaknesses? What's holding him back? How do I represent Christ in my liberty to him? So that's my, I'm having a relationship with him, but I'm not having fellowship with him. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So in my relationship with you and in my fellowship with you, how much more do I need to be aware of things that are making you stumble? And so time and place, man. Time and place for doing stuff. So exercise compassion and empathy in your liberty, remembering always that we are called to serve. And that's why I say right there, you are in service. The thing that I like to bear in mind, and it gives me great pride to say so, is that we aren't just in the military. We aren't just in service. We are in service to the King. And I think it was you that was talking about, we really need to do a study, personally, I'm saying we, that's you, we really need to do a study on who it is we do serve. Who is that? And I think that was at the conference last year in Kansas, we talked a little bit about that. The majesty of God. Our God breathes things into an existence, and he's the King. He's the King of the universe. He's the King of absolutely everything. He stops thinking about me, and I don't exist anymore. That's who I serve. He's the King. He's not some king of America or of England or of India or any of these places, these earthly realms or anything like that. We serve the, capital T, king. The king. We are in service to the king. And I say that about 20 times. I really want that to resonate. Because as we go out from here, you're a Stelfman. You're a Thielen. Dave, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name, but you know who you are. God knows who you are. You're a Christian. Go act like it. And so when we fellowship with one another, Satan wants to tear us apart. He wants to tear apart our marriages. He wants us looking into these things that we shouldn't be looking at. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know the song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. He's not joking. Be careful what you see. We're very visual. When we see ourselves going into these places, we are men, we are leaders, we are called for a purpose, and our purpose is to serve. And I think it was Doug was talking about how it does make you kind of sad sometimes that when you see the church, whether it's in India or Kalispell or Gurdu or here or in Kansas or wherever we are, Pennsylvania, and it's the 20-80 theory. So 20% of the labor does 80% of the work. And that's the same with the Border Patrol. It was the same in the military. We had the E4 Mafia. So the E4 Mafia, that's your corporals, you know. And I was a corporal. So in the Navy, we didn't have corporals, but I was equivalent to one. And so if you ever want something done, you got to go to make the younger troops, right? The smaller guys, the E1s, E2s, E3s. So you go to the E4. And you're like, hey, I need to get that mopped out and everything like that. And E4 is like, you know, it's worth it. You know, so it's like if you're dealing with a mafia. And the military is very much like this, man. Snotty little buggers we were. And so when we're in church, we shouldn't have to do that, man. We shouldn't have to do that. If it's on the floor, we pick it up, right? If it's on the floor, we pick it up. Is it mine? Because that's what my son, I didn't put that there. Got it. Check. It looks like something you would be playing with. How about we pick it up? And so we, as a band of brothers, we are in service to the king. The king, we need to pick it up. And so if that means, like, Sam just came up and totally got that thing working, man. Freaking hoo yeah, dude. So if you know how to do something and you can make it better, you can fix it, stand up. Stand up, man. I love the song. There's a song, Rise Up, O Man of God. Be done with lesser things. And it keeps going, but rise up, O men of God, be done with lesser things. He was going to pepper spray everybody. Bad plan. But what's more important? Our unity in our fellowship, not just in the church, but in our workplace. And here it is. We're walking down the street, man. And we owe each other allegiance. We owe our God even more allegiance. And I think it for people who weren't in the service, it might do good to do some studies into some of the things, or hang out with me more, and we'll do some fun stuff. But it's a life changing thing to go to. It's a shock of ice water, man. You get in there, and if you're not prepared, they'll prepare you. Disgusting fat body, you know. They'll whip you into shape. They'll get you going. They'll mock you the entire time. So will I, and that's okay. But we as Christian brothers, dude, rise up, O men of God. Be done with these lesser things. Be willing to endure one another. And I'm not the easiest person to be around all the time. Nor are you. I'm looking right at you, Jesse. Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, no, but we're not. We have our little quirks and everything. And we have to be willing to deal with one another. Otherwise, we're back into that scenario with Longshanks and the Irish and the Welsh and the Scottish, where Satan's just like, got him. And he's got that snare ever present, man, in our marriages, in our relationships here. I mean, shoot, when we go on missions trips to India, there's some tense moments, man. Where are we going to stay tonight? Three of us, one hotel room, one bed. Yay! You know, that happened, you know. Or the first place we went, we walked into the door and just this waft of marijuana came out. And I'm like, I'm not staying here. I'm like, this is not happening. And then the rooms were unacceptable anyway. But when you go into these things, there's tense situations. We're going to be presented with different things in church. You know, we're going to be presented with different personalities, with different people that come in. And we're not called to look at that. We're not. God already knows it. There's no reason for me to look at it. My job is to say, welcome to church. Come on in.
I got a seat for you right here. What do you need? You need some water? You want me to give you some water? Let's get you some water. You know, Matt says, hey, can you get a guy to my chair?
Nope.
You know, yes, yes, I will guide you to your chair. Take mine. You know,
and it's just that simple, man. It's just that simple. And the thing is that, I'm sorry, but we men sometimes can be a little pig-headed. That's a horrible phrase. But it's so accurate, right? It's because, or dogs. Man, I was a dog handler for years. And the dogs, they don't know anything about sharing, right? They don't know anything about sharing. They will bite, scratch, and bark, and push you out of the way, and it's mine. We gotta, that's the world's way. That's the world's way. That's the way they work. And they don't know any better. It's not that they don't want to see. They can't see. They can't. They don't have what we have. They don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. If you get a chance, come up to Jesse's conference next week and Wake Up, O Christian is his theme. And I'm going to be going a little bit more into the light versus dark. And I'll be teaching some land navigation. So that's going to be next. But working in a dark world as someone illuminated by the Holy Spirit. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to hang out with one another. I just pray that the words that were spoken by me today, Lord, will be your words, and anything else would just be erased, burned up in the fire, Father. I just pray that, that what would be taken home would be a blessing to these men, and that they would be able to recognize that they are your precious jewels. They are made exactly as you want them to be, Lord. And I pray that they would be proud and grateful to be chosen by you to be leaders in this. And that they would seek unity in the body and not allow Satan to divide and conquer and separate. None of that garbage. And that our liberty would be used respectfully, knowing that we serve you always and forever. In Jesus' name. I think I'm done early.
Thanks, Matt.
Did anybody go to sleep?
It's a deal.
All right. So you guys should have been to my high school, man. My football coach was awesome. He was the math teacher, and I hated math. And what he used to do is he used to bring in volleyballs, and he had a little cart right there. McKellen! And I'm in the back of the room, and that volleyball was already in the air. He never would have made it as a teacher today. But by the time he called your name, it was already done. You just literally would look up to, wham, and volleyball would go in there. Yeah, you ain't sleeping in his class, man. So, I spared you. There you go. That wasn't too bad. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he does. Thank you.